From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. It's our privilege to welcome you to today's program, and on behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from God's Holy Word, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. In the course of this message entitled Christ and the Holy Family, we've seen from Mark chapter 3 that Mary and Christ's brothers and sisters attempted to hinder his ministry, even to the point of accusing him of madness. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will show, Christ could not be diverted from his determination to do the Father's will. That should be true of all who name the name of Christ. First, however, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, paying God by credit card.
Reportedly, more and more churches are encouraging their members to pay their tithes and give their offerings by credit card. Charismatic televangelists have been at this game for a long time. Some of them have openly advocated that people without the ready funds to sow the faith seed of a cash donation should step out on faith by putting their gift on their credit card. Today it's not my purpose to deal at any length with the utterly unprincipled charlatans who have abused the trust of gullible people and have corrupted the message of Scripture to dip their thieving fingers into the pockets of poor and vulnerable people. They are despicable beyond words. Today, however, I'm more interested in how many churches are climbing on the bandwagon and welcoming tithing by credit card. Now, there's nothing wrong in a person paying his bills by credit card. And that means there's nothing wrong with others receiving payment by credit card. What is wrong is that many people use credit cards to finance a lifestyle they can't afford and to cover up spending that is out of control. It may sound like good business for churches that are seeking to ensure that their budget projections are met and that they're able to pay for the programs they have commenced on the strength of their members' pledges to have members pay by credit card, whether they have the ready cash or not. As I say, it may sound like good business, but it's not sound practice. In fact, it's dangerous and, in most cases, sinful. Americans are sinking in an ocean of debt. Obligations that we're able to meet according to agreed terms are often necessary and legitimate. For example, I have no problem with a Christian taking out a mortgage to buy a house or signing a lease to rent an apartment. These are financial commitments that he should enter into in the fear of God. But if he assumes them knowing that he has the means of meeting them, he has not incurred bad debt. If, however, he assumes them knowing that he has overreached and that he's not going to be able to pay, he has erred exceedingly. And that's what millions are doing. Often they refuse to wait, to deny themselves, and save for the things they want, and instead they just go ahead and charge large amounts to their credit cards. In a short time, they're overwhelmed by their debt. In many cases, people get into debt because of unforeseen illness or unemployment or some such tragedy. But in too many cases, the trouble lies in reckless spending, charging without any liability or real intention to pay. That is sin. That's where the practice of having people pay into churches by credit card can become morally questionable. For a church member who's out of town to call in a donation by credit card that he can clear when he gets his statement is no big deal. But for church members going into debt to pay their tithes or give their offerings, it's a very different matter. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's an evil that God's people must avoid. In their budgeting, they should obey the Bible and give to God's work. And they should do so out of their pocketbook or their bank account. Paying into church by plastic and using somebody else's money that you have no real hope of repaying is not tithing at all.
Do no sinful action, speak no angry word. Ye belong to Jesus, children of the Lord.
Christ is my helper. Christ is your
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving telephone calls. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, and today we want to inform you that our new edition of the quarterly magazine Let the Bible Speak Quarterly is now available to those who ask. You'll find this particular issue very interesting. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the theme of the doctrines of grace, and there are other very informative and inspiring articles as well. You may receive a free copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly simply by asking for it. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
People couldn't get to Christ because they were in the same earthly family. Why on earth do you think you would ever get the favor of God because you're a Presbyterian or a Free Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Roman Catholic or a Greek Orthodox or a Methodist or any? Why would you think that that would get you to God? Why would you think that any earthly position or privilege would get you to God? We live in an age of so much learning and yet so much utter rank stupidity. When people who ought to know better imagine that the God of heaven is beholden to them for this reason or that reason or the other reason. The truth is, here you have the closest earthly bonds. You have therefore the greatest earthly reasons for being able to get through to Christ. And Jesus repudiated them. Make sure you don't make the same mistake. Before I leave this, let me just ask you to take a moment to consider. For this to me is a portent of an even more awful day. You see, these people had opportunity to repent, and they did repent. their opportunity to get right with God, and they did get right with God, I do believe. But here is a portent, at least, of that day that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 7. That he spoke about again in Matthew chapter 25. When people will come before the judgment bar of God, and they will plead that they belong to the family of God, and he will repudiate them. I don't know you. I can think of no greater tragedy, greater even than this, for this was temporary. No greater tragedy than for people to be going out to meet God, and they're basing their hopes for heaven on a false foundation, and they're hoping to be received only to be repudiated by God Almighty and by the Son of God Himself to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Depart. Your name was on the church roll, but I don't know you. You are baptized as a baby, but I don't know you. You are immersed as an adult, but I don't know you. You sat and drank at the Lord's, eat and drank at the Lord's table, but I don't know you. You took my name, but I don't know you. And I don't recognize you, and I don't receive you. There are people who think they're the family of God. And Jesus says, they're not my family. Now then, that leaves me a moment to show you that the Lord Jesus clearly identified the true holy family. In verses 34 and 35. Luke's version of his words in Luke 8:21, he speaks of these which hear the word of God and do it. Hear my words and do them. These then are the family of God. In other words, the Lord Jesus says, you want to know who my family are? They're my disciples. This is my real family. You know, as I read that, it brought something to mind, quite beside the point, but nonetheless, it's the true experience of so many of God's people. Blood ties. They say blood is thicker than water. And blood ties are certainly very, very close. And yet, you know, once you're saved, you're brought into the family of God. And you get new relations. And there are many, many Christians. They can thank God that their bodily relations and blood relations are also spiritual relations. That they've got a united family circle. That's the best of both worlds. That's the happiest way for it to be. But there's many and many a Christian that I have met. Sometimes they have felt guilty about it, and they really don't need to feel guilty about it at all. That while loving their earthly family, they have to confess, I am much more at home among my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. They are the closest on earth to me. There I have a bond. There I have a fellowship. There I have a closeness. There I have a love. There I have a support group. There I have something that I can't even get in the kith and kin that belong to me by body. As I say, it's nice when it's true on both levels. But can I suggest to you, there's nothing better than being related through the blood of Christ. If you want the best for your earthly family, you'll want to make sure they're in the family of God. Because you know, ultimately, that's the only family you're ever going to have. I don't want to take off on this morning, but this is the ultimate answer to the old question about the family circle being united or otherwise in heaven. There's an awful lot of sentimental rubbish talked about heaven. Not a lot of sentimental claptrap And it's meant, I suppose, for very good reasons, and it's meant to get us interested in getting our loved ones to heaven. I am all in favor of us being interested in getting our loved ones to heaven, to work before God day and night for the salvation of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. Get them all saved. I'm all in favor of that. But you know, you and your wife will not be in heaven together. There are no wives and no husbands in heaven. Those who are wives and husbands on earth will be together in heaven, but they'll not be husbands and wives. And that which relates you to the others there will not be because they're your children or your uncles or your aunts. There is a real family in heaven. It's the family of God, named for Jesus Christ, purchased with His precious blood, rightly related to God through the Son of God. That's the one family. The truth is that the family circle will be complete in heaven, because in heaven we are all family. This is the true holy family, Christ's holy family, the people who stand peculiarly close to Him, the people to whom He gives His special favor, the people whom He never fails to recognize, whom He never repudiates, the people who have constant access to Him, the people who have His assurance that they have all the privileges of the sons of God. That's the family of God. That's Christ's holy family. I want to ask you this morning, are you in that family? If there's one family that He repudiates and one family that He receives, where do you stand? I trust this morning that you will make very, very sure that you are in the family of God. Our Lord Jesus here, in repudiating the one and receiving the other, gives us a wonderful view of Himself. This really should have been the message, believe it or not, this morning, for I'm doing a biographical study of the life of Christ, not topical studies about people related to Him. But however, I always ask the Lord for a message, not a sermon. So we'll take it that the Lord had something to say to somebody on those issues that are of vast importance this morning. But as we draw it all to a close, let me emphasize Christ's revelation of Himself here. When I see Him refusing to listen even to Mary, when she says, "Stop this," I see His determination to do the will of His Father. What is that which is most evident in the life of Christ and should be most evident in the life of every Christian? It is to do the will of His Father. In fact, it is by reflecting this aspect of Christ that we are proved to be His disciples. Did He not say, "Who is my brother or sister or my mother?" Who is it? The ones who do the will of my Father. The ones who do the will of God. The ones who are like Christ in this, in His determination to do the will of His Father. It's a glorious study in the New Testament when you look to see how nothing could stop Christ from this. Nothing could stop Him. In this occasion, He steadfastly went on with His work. On other occasions, when Satan or men got in His way, to use the words of Scripture, He set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me. I must do it." He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." There was a determination. And that was in fulfillment of the great messianic promise of Isaiah 42 and verse 4. "He shall not feel or be discouraged till He have said judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for His law." What a beautiful picture of Christ. The, if I could coin a word, the undiscourageable one. The one who could not be depressed or put in despair or turned aside, who kept the goal before him and said, I must finish the work. I have a people to save, and save them I will. I have a sacrifice to make, and make it I will. I have a victory to accomplish, and accomplish it I will. Thank God he finished the work. We have no part in that work. But we have a ministry as co-workers with the Spirit of God in preaching that work.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.